All right now, all of you ought to be ready for 2 hours of preaching after all that good singing. Amen. I tell you, I like that amazing grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's grace that finds you, saves you, and takes you on in. Amen. Bible says, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the fifth time you find the name Noah in the Bible. And Noah found grace the fifth time, it says there, and five is the number of grace. So you see how the Holy Spirit just worked it out so it worked right together. Well, I like the good singing tonight, and I know it's a real blessing. At peace, the world has no peace tonight. The wicked have no peace, this book says, but there's a peace for the people of God. Amen. I like that. The Bible says that we have peace with God when we're saved. And then Jesus said, my peace give I unto you. That's a different kind. That's the kind you need when your soul is in turmoil and your heart is breaking and you don't know where to turn. And then when that deep settled peace begins to come in, what a blessing that is. And I thank the Lord for the good singing and the good day we've had. Now, I've had a beautiful day today. Had a couple of little rain, but, you know, storm, but some places it got pretty rough. But here, everything's been nice, and I thank the Lord for it. I praise the Lord for the blessings. I want to say tomorrow night, it's youth night, and I'm going to speak on the road to Armageddon. I'll tell you some things tomorrow night that you'll need to know about prophecy. I hope you'll be here and be in the service. I've taught Revelation, the book of Revelation, four times on the radio, verse by verse. It's a tremendous book, and we're living in the shadow right now of the Battle of Armageddon. The next thing to happen will be the rapture. Praise God. I'll tell you, we'll be leaving out one day. I'm glad that Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we'll be leaving out. Now, I hope you'll be here tomorrow night. I was thinking tonight, there are two countries over in Europe there. One is Germany. They hate Russia. They hate Russia. But Germany is the only country over there that's really beginning to prosper. A sad day when the two Germanys were unified. It's a sad day. Germany will become the horror, and they'll line up with Russia and be one of the allies in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39. They're going to line up. Now, they hate each other now, but they're going to turn, and you're going to watch Germany become a great, prosperous nation. And even I heard on the news tonight about the prosperity over there in Germany. And so I want you to be here tomorrow night. You talk about prophecy that's just been fulfilled. One of the greatest miracles we've had in years, that war. Amen, that war was a tremendous miracle. Nobody believed it could be over as quickly, but you see, there were some people praying in this country. There's some people that had loved ones over there. And brother, they prayed, and what a blessing that was to see it end that quickly. And the boys coming home, our troops. Now, Sunday morning, I want you to be here. We have a message for the church. And this is a great church. But you know, a great church doesn't remain a great church if you don't pray, and if you don't stay close to God, and if you don't go out and do as the Bible says, compel them to come in and to see God bless. There's no such thing as a church standing still and being blessed. There's no such thing as a Christian standing still and to be blessed if you're not a better Christian this year than you were last year. Mister, there's something wrong. You need to be down at this altar and repenting and believing. Then Sunday afternoon, I'm going to preach on the message, prophecy that will soon make headlines, and I want you to come. Many of you remember years ago before Armstrong went to the moon. a good friend of mine down in Greenville, South Carolina, a real man of God. He's in heaven now. But he wrote a little book on why they'll never go to the moon. And I had a message and wrote a little book why they will go to the moon. I remember I went up to see my mother, lives in Hendersonville, North Carolina. And she got that book. She said, Mays, they'll never go to the moon. I said, watch out. They'll go. And, you know, it wasn't long till Armstrong stepped on the moon. The only bad thing about that, they sent the wrong Armstrong up there. Amen? Now, some of you will get that on a slow train tomorrow, but that. And I called my mother. In fact, I was in Calvary Baptist Church, where I'll be week after next, down in Tocoa, Georgia. And I called my mother, and I said, did you know Armstrong has placed his foot on the moon? Mother said, huh, I don't believe that. So that's rigged, May. Said, you know that's not so. But it was so. And they did go to the moon. And the Bible says that God would not hinder them. All their imagination they'll do. But there's one place they'll not go, and that's to heaven, unless they're saved by the blood of Jesus. Unless they're born again, they'll not go. But you need to hear that Sunday afternoon. I believe it'll be a great help to you. So that's at 2:30, and let's look for the Lord to bless us. All right? I'm glad you came tonight. My good spirit, I said to the pastor, I appreciate God's liberty in the spirit. I want you to turn, not now, but in just a moment, to the greatest testimony, I guess, in the Bible. A man named Paul the Apostle had a testimony. And the Bible said, let every man have his hope and have a testimony. Let him be able to say so. Now, if you're saved, you're not ashamed to say that you're saved. If you know the Lord, you're not ashamed to tell people you know the Lord. Now, if you just shook a preacher's hand or was baptized or catechized or confirmed or whatever you want to call it, listen, you have no testimony. But if you've ever been to Calvary, bless the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And here's a man in the Bible who said three things in his testimony. He said, first, he said, I want you to know I'm a debtor. Hey, he said, I'm a debtor. And brother, when we get to the place that we think we owe Jesus everything, the Bible said you're not your own, you're bought with a price. And we need to recognize we're in debt to God. I'll never be able to pay him for what he did for me. And he doesn't expect me to pay him for, but he does expect me to be faithful and to take what he gives me and use it for the glory of God. Here's a man said, I'm a dad. Secondly, he said, I'm ready. Wouldn't it be good if God's people would get ready? I mean ready for God to bless and send revival and be ready to go out and do God's work. And the third thing Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news that Christ came into this world. Oh, that's the good news. There's no better news than the good news of the gospel, and what a blessing it is. And in that chapter, then Paul begins to talk about some things. And I want you to take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading verse 21, and I'm going to read down through verse 27, and then bring you a message tonight when God's patience wears out. Thank God for the long suffering of our God. Boy, if we deserved, or if we got what we deserved, we'd be in hell tonight. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And I'm glad he was long-suffering with me. I'll tell you, I'm glad he just didn't cram me into hell. Oh, how patient he was. But I want you to stand all over the house for the reading of the Word of God. And we'll begin reading with verse 21. After Paul gives that great testimony, and he talks about the glory of God in creation and the wrath of God that's going to be on this world. He comes down in verse 21 and said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Let me stop long to say this. Folks, ingratitude's a terrible sin. After God's done so much for you, after God's blessed you with a home and a family, after God's blessed you with health, and you can come. Boy, we ought to be thankful people. He said, neither were they thankful. He said, they just gobbled up. Somebody said, do you pray every time you go into a restaurant before you eat your food? I do, but I don't like to call on a fella that prays around the world because I get hungry while he's about halfway around. Amen? Amen. But you know, some people, they're ashamed to pray over the food. It gets a shame. Some of you are like some of the Baptists in Atlanta. You know how they pray? They when they get ready to eat their food, they use this so blow their nose. Like, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that pitiful? That's ashamed. They think you're blowing your nose instead of thanking God for the blessings there. But we should not be unthankful. Look what the Bible says here quickly. But became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Somebody said those creeping things are Chevrolets, one like pastor's got. But I never said that. Now, I said somebody said it. Say amen. I like that Oldsmobile, Don. Look over here. I like that Oldsmobile. Say amen. That's not a creeping thing. He let me have his car to drive. Man, I want to tell you what. You have to just ease off. It'll spin wheels. And I'm not a teenager anymore. Say amen. But I like what the scripture. Now notice the next verse. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped, now notice, and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving, now notice, in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. Now I want you to look back with me, if you will, in the scripture, and it said God twice gave them up. And I believe this, that God's patience is about to run out with America. Brother, we've become vile in our imaginations. Listen, and we've crowded God out, and we serve the creature instead of the Creator. And, Mr., we're living in sad days. But now, if I was God, I'd just blot this thing off. But thank God I'm not God. I'm glad his arm is still outstretched. I'm glad that his ear is still turned toward those that call upon him. And in just a moment, I'm going to speak to you on when God's patience runs out. But I want you to be seated, all of the house, if you will. Everyone seated. Everyone praying. Would you bow your head? We're going to pray. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message. Father, how we thank you tonight for your long suffering. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that our God is patient, that our God tarries in judgment. Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't cut me off. I'm glad that you let me, Lord, come to thee after many years as a young boy. I'd turned you down. I had turned my back on grace and the blood. And I would not yield to the tender embrace. But I'm glad that you were so kind, tender-hearted, full of grace and mercy, long-suffering, not willing that I should perish, not willing that the folk right here tonight perish. Thank God he made a way. I'm glad tonight we'll live forever. We'll enjoy God forever because of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now bless our hearts in the preaching of the word of God, and we'll praise you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way, and I'm going to speak to you tonight on the subject when God's patience runs out. Now, patience is not one of my virtues. I wished I had patience. And I don't want patience like the Bible says you get it. The Bible said through much tribulation. And I don't want to get it that way, but I want God to teach me to be patient with sinners and patient with people that they might know the Lord. I think sometimes, mister, we work too fast. I think sometimes we're too abrupt. But here's a case where God's patience ran out. Let me show you three places in the Bible where God's patience did run out. In the days of Noah, God gave him 120 years. Have you ever thought about how the length of 120 years? Then after the 120 years was up, God said, Noah, sit in the door. And for 7 days, my patience is going to be extended. My long suffering is going to be extended to this generation and this people. And the Bible said, after 7 days, Noah sitting up there in the door of that ark, God shut the door. The same hand that shut Noah in was the same hand that shut the people out, and they were drowned. And oh, what a sight it was to behold. But his patience ran out. Can you see old Noah out there preaching after he'd been preaching 110 years? And somebody runs up and says, that's not going to happen. It's not going to rain. Oh, but Noah said his patience is upward. He said one day the clouds are coming and the judgment of God's going to fall upon this world. Now you take today when a preacher preaches on hell and the burnings of torment. People say, I've heard that all my life. But mister, when that soul lifts up his eyes in hell, hear me, then he'll know that this Bible is so. He'll know that God gave him an opportunity to miss it and gave him the privilege of being saved. Not only the days of Noah, but in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, I'm going to send fire and brimstone down. Lot escaped for thy life, but he lingered. Isn't that just like a lot of people today? They linger. Things that you're going to do for God, mister, you better do them now. This book doesn't promise you a tomorrow. It said now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I want to live today as if tomorrow I'd be in heaven. And I could look back and say, boy, I stood there at Buffalo Ridge the 15th year and wept over those people and told those precious people that judgment was coming. I believe that that needs to be done. And God said, if I find 50 and 45, 40, and 30 and 20, and then God said, if I find 10 people, I'll spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But how long suffering he was. He sent two lily white angels from heaven, and they dragged Lot out and his family. Boy, I have a joke I tell on my wife, and she don't like it. I think I told it to you here. The Bible said, God said, Noah, said, Lot, don't you look back. And said to his wife, don't you look back. And those angels took Lot and his wife and started dragging them out of that city. And did you know that his wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt? I told them one night down in Georgia, my wife looked back and turned into a telephone pole. Say amen. And she said, Mays, that's the worst joke I ever heard in my life. I used to preach a sermon when they did the twist. You remember they had this old twist thing that young people went crazy over? I used to preach on the woman that did the twist, Lot's wife. She twisted around, and brother, she became her own tombstone. Say amen. And she became a pillar of salt. But how long-suffering God was. Then in the text tonight, God said to the Roman Christians, he said, if you want to go the way of the evils of homosexuality and lesbianism, and if you want your world to become corrupt, I'll give you up. My patience will wear out. Did you know there are 110,000 homosexuals registered in Atlanta, Georgia? And somebody said, you know, ought not to preach against them. I believe any preacher that doesn't stand up and expose that evil sin is a compromising preacher, brother. And we need some preachers that'll stand up. But if you have your pencil tonight, I want to give you five things that happens when God's patience run out. First of all, the longing soul will never be satisfied. I'm glad that I know what it is to say, He satisfied my heart. Oh, my soul is satisfied tonight. I'm telling you, nothing can satisfy you but Jesus. Now, pleasure can't satisfy you. Popularity can't satisfy you. Hear me, the things of this world will not satisfy your soul. But I'm glad, praise the Lord, that longing soul can be satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said in John chapter 4, there's a thirsty woman, and she came, and I've been to that well many times, where Jesus sat, and he saw this thirsty woman. Oh, she lived in sin, the crimson sin. But Jesus came and Jesus gave her water that was not in the well. I like what he said. He said, I'll give you a drink of this water and you'll thirst again. But if you get a drink that I'll give you, you'll never. And you know what she said for years? I didn't see that. She said, give me some of that you're going to give me. I want some of that that'll satisfy me. I want my longing soul to be satisfied. Some of you heard me tell when my baby boy was a freelance writer. He used to write for Plow Incorporated. And they sent him up to Memphis, Tennessee before Elvis died. And he stayed a week there in Graceland Mansion with Elvis. And he wrote an article about Presley. And when he got back, I said, Dale, I want to ask you something. Was he happy? And he said, I want to show you these pictures, Daddy. Look at him. He wasn't a Christian. Said he was kind about Christianity because he had an old holiness mother that tried to walk right before him. And he said, Daddy, he's a kind man, but I don't believe he's ever been to Calvary. He said he needs to be saved. Said he took me a ride in his fine cars and his Rolls Royces and his foreign make cars. Said he had 21 television sets in that mansion. I said, 21? Oh, God, he'd have to stay up all night to watch 21, wouldn't he? And he said, you know, Daddy, I want to tell you something. But he never was satisfied. Oh, said he walked around. He was a miserable man. I said, well, let me tell you something, Dale. I can take you back up here where a little old Christian lives in the mountains. They don't have mansions. They don't have Rolls Royce cars. They do not have the popularity and the fame of Elvis. But they've been to the fountain that never runs dry. And praise the Lord. I said, they're satisfied. Not only in John 4, John 7 said the last day of the feast, Jesus saw the priest bringing, the people water in the pitchers. And they were pouring it out there at the last day of the feast. And the people were still, they were thirsty. And Jesus put his hand up and said, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water. Boy, I want to tell you something. I'm glad not only will he give you satisfaction, but the overflow of the blessings that come after you're saved. That's the most blessed thing in the world. Well, I have people, they say, we're sorry for you. Don't feel sorry for me. God's my Father. Jesus is my elder brother. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. And the devil's not my 42nd cousin anymore. Say amen. I'll tell you what a blessing it is to have the overflow of God's blessings. I have the overflow of the blessings of the Lord. I was with my wife and we went down to see one of her ladies in her Sunday school class. And I saw my wife. She became nervous. And she said, Mays, you know what would satisfy these people temporarily right here in this hospital? I said, what? She said, if they could all get up out of their beds and go home, they'd be happy to do that. But she said, you know, I can tell them about a home they can go to, praise the Lord, where there is no sickness and there is no sorrow. I want you to know Jesus can satisfy. Over in the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, Bible said for 3 days they'd come into the wilderness. And they were thirsty, and they got to complaining about the preacher. Isn't it funny when people, you know, become disgruntled, and when they're mad at home, they'll bring it down to the church and blame the preacher. Say amen. Amen. They'll say, now, brother, like, listen to me. If you had on your shoulders what this man's got on his, say, you can go home and sleep. It doesn't bother you. And you say, well, it don't bother you. No, I'm leaving Sunday afternoon. Praise God. It won't bother me that bad. But I want to tell you, it bothers the man of God when he stands and he pours out his heart and he does the best that he knows how. And then some people begin to fuss and they couldn't have any water. And they said, Moses, why did you bring us out here to perish? And then they came to a place called Marah, 15th chapter of Exodus. And they got down and started drinking that water, and it was bitter. And they spit the water out. And the Bible said, God said to Moses, see that tree there? Cut it down. Throw it into the waters, and it'll sweeten up the waters. You know what that tree's a type of? A tree that was on Calvary. And brother, you put that tree in your home, it'll sweeten your home up. You put that tree in your life, and mister, it'll sweeten up your life. And what a blessing. And he cut the tree down and threw it into the waters. And they drank the water. And he said, well, come on down. 3 verses below that, they came to Elim. I like Elim. You know what? Elim has twofold meaning. Elim means rest and satisfaction. And if I know anything about God's people in 1991, they need rest and satisfaction. Oh, listen, we need to be satisfied. And when they came to Elim, the Bible said they had 12 wells and 70 palm trees. One night I was preaching Eastside Baptist Church in Atlanta years ago, and I was preaching on the 12 wells. I got to well number 4, and I'd preach 40 minutes. Lady punched my wife and said, Lord, if he preaches all 12 of those wells, we'll be here to midnight, Miss Jackson. She said, that's not what's worrying me. Said, if he gets on them 70 palm trees, we'll be here to Christmas Eve, brother. Amen. Listen to me. But the Bible said they drank and they rested on the palm trees. I'm glad, mister, their longing souls were satisfied. Nothing could satisfy them but the place of rest and the place of blessing of God. People, listen to me. That longing soul will never be satisfied if God's patience wears out. Number 2, the love of God you'll never know. Boy, I'm so glad I know the love of a mother. Boy, I had a good little mother. I'm glad I knew the love of a mother. Amen. You know, I used to didn't like my daddy to come hear me preach. But grandmother, I love. Oh, I had a good grandmother. Lord have mercy. I'd get through preaching as a young man. She'd walk up and say, Mace, I want to tell you, that's the best I ever heard. Said, John the Baptist couldn't carry your briefcase. Now, wouldn't you like that? I'd get in the car, start home, and I'd say, Daddy, how'd you like that message? He said, you know, you'll do better if you pray more next time. Now, if that won't deflate you, say amen. Boy, and I'll tell you, but I want you to know something tonight. I knew a grandmother loved the Lord. And two of them, I knew a granddad, and I knew a dad. And I know a wife, and I know 3 sons that love the Lord. And they love me, but wait a minute. I know a far greater love than human love tonight. He dipped that love in my heart. And oh, he shed his love abroad in the hearts of God's people. I was talking about the Gethsemane Quartet. I knew Floyd when he started. They've been singing about 38 years or 40. And I knew when they started down in Greensboro, North Carolina. But listen, they had that song, Until You've Known the Love of God. Folks, let me tell you, you can own everything. You can have a name in this world that's outstanding, but until God dips that love, that pen of love in your heart, let me tell you, mister, you'll never know what love really is. But oh, when Calvary's love becomes a part. I used to preach in this big old church up in Pittsburgh. They tore it down now. And I'd go up there, and I wasn't used to it up there. I mean, they had 11 steps you had to climb up to get to where I preach. And when I preached up there, I had to preach down. Pew! I like that drawing from the shoulder, shooting straight, say amen. But I had to walk up them steps, and then they had some big chairs. Looked like Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear. And I got up there, boy, and I was preaching away, and I was preaching in that church. And before I'd preach, old Herb Walters, that worked for the great Bethlehem Steel Company, had sang, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure." Boy, that church would vibrate when he'd sing the love of God. And he said, "Mays, never preach until God fills your heart with that kind of love, a Calvary love." Wouldn't it be wonderful if every worker in this church had a Calvary love to excite them and to fill them and to bless them? Hallelujah. A Calvary love. There's a boy named George, and he fell in love with the wrong girl, and he was going to the mission field. Tori, you listen to this now. This is for you. You know what he did? He found out he was going blind. And he went to that girl and said, "Do you love me enough to go to the mission field?" She said, "I love you enough, but not the Lord." And he said, "Well, let me tell you, I'm going blind. Do you love me enough to lead a blind man around?" And she said, "No, I do not. I don't love you enough to lead a blind husband around." And George Matherson went home and sat down and wrote this immortal hymn, "Oh, love that will not let me go." There's the love that'll be with you when you're blind. There's the love that'll be with you when you're old. You know, preachers tickle me. They think, when you get old, people won't love you. Man, y'all better love me. Amen. I need your help now more than any when you get old. Yeah, see, when they, boy, I'd just run. But listen, when you get old, I used to go in preachers' meetings and preach on Friday fellowships. I was the youngest preacher there. I looked over the crowd 2 weeks ago, and I said, "Lord, I'm the oldest preacher in the crowd." But oh, what a blessing. I said, "The love of God shall forevermore endure." What a blessing. But hear me, if God's patience wears out, the love of God will not be known. Number three, God's patience runs out, listen to me, the guilt of sin will never be lifted. Oh, when they were singing that piece a while ago, I thought about that man out there tonight, and I forget what they call him right now. He sells drugs, and he's out there on the streets with his pot, selling all of that stuff that causes young people to go into despair and commit suicide. And I thought about if they could only know that peace. I remember one day, and I used to be just bitter, and it's not right to be bitter now toward them. I was bitter against hippies. Well, I was bitter against them. You could come and sit down on the front row and hear me preach, and you could have liquor on your breath, and I'd feel sorry for you once you get saved. But if you came in, your hair plumb down to your belt buckle back there, and you was a hippie, it used to just, boy, it just boiled, make me boil. And one day a lady called me from Greensboro, North Carolina, and said, "Would you go down on 14th Street in Atlanta, Georgia here, and would you find my daughter?" And I went down there, my wife and a detective went with us, and I can't tell you what we saw, but my wife said she didn't see one person down there on 14th Street that had any peace at all. But I want to tell you tonight, when you lie down and close your eyes, if you can sing peace, oh, what a blessing. I'm glad Jesus said, "My peace I give you, not as the world giveth, world doesn't have any peace to give you. Only when peace comes down from the Father above. Boy, I'll tell you, it's worth everything. Have peace. Now, I've always been trying to be a jolly fella. Have peace. And I was down at Anniston, Alabama. And I've been at that church 32 years. And I've enjoyed going down there. And they had a nurse that worked in the, she worked in the intensive care. And she said, "Mays, don't look like tonight. I'm sending him straight up out of that hospital." Well, I felt pretty good. Here they come. They take me to the hospital. That doctor, he's nervous. He said, "What's wrong, Reverend?" I said, "Nothing." I said, "I got a peace right here." I said, "You know, heaven may not be far off." And he laid me down in that emergency room on that operating table. And he said, "Look up there, Reverend, and find you a spot and think of something good." Well, I thought he's going to do that. I'll just show him something. And he said, "Are you looking?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Think of something good." I said, "I am." He said, "What are you thinking about?" I said, "A deacon's meeting." And he liked to drop all of those. He said, "A deacon's meeting?" I said, "Lord have mercy. That's the best thing. You know why it's good? Because I don't have to have them anymore. Say amen. I'm an evangelist tonight. But oh, the blessings. Hear me tonight." And I told that little old doctor stood there in Anniston, Alabama. I said, "You know, I said, God's been good to me." "Oh," I said, "Doc, I want to tell you, boy, he wanted to get out of there so bad he couldn't." I said, "Wait, I'm sick." But I kept him around. I mean, and they laughed up there to church. Next night I got up. I said, "Well, I was in the hospital last night, but I'm heaven bound with a hammer down tonight. Praise the Lord." I said, "What a blessing." Oh, listen to me. I'm glad the guilt has been lifted. Let me show you one in the Bible. His name was Cain, and he came bloodless, and he slew his brother. And he said, "My punishment's greater than I can bear." The guilt of his sin didn't let him have peace. The guilt of his sin was heavy upon him. And brother, there are a lot of people in East Tennessee tonight, and the guilt of sin will never be lifted. Number four, I want you to write this down. My friend, oh, if God's patience wears out, the last ray of hope will leave you. I'm glad, thank God, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul. Aren't you glad you've got hope tonight? Our hope is a living hope. That's a blessing. Our Savior's alive. I've been over there to the tomb. I don't know how many times, but I remember the third time I was there. You know, if you've ever, how many have been to the Holy Land? Raise your hand out. All right, these people will verify this. When you get in that little tomb, you got to bend over. And then there is a gate, iron gate. And the government won't let you back there. And I said to Solomon Matter, my good friend, kept the garden tomb. I said, "Solomon, I want the key to that gate. Because in the morning, before they gather, the tourists gather to have a sunrise service, I want to go back in there, place my feet where his feet had been. Lay my head where they laid his precious head." And boy, he said, "Mays, when you go in there in the morning, if you look up behind the third rock is a key. Don't tell them I told you." I said, "I won't." Boy, I got in there and I took off my shoes because I was standing on holy ground. I want to tell you, when you're walking around resurrected ground, you need to take off your shoes. I took off my shoes, beloved. And boy, you talk about a blessing. I got to crying. I reached over and got that key and unlocked that little gate. I went right over there in the corner where they said they'd laid him. And I put my feet where his feet had been. I laid my head where his head had been. And I was lying there and I said, "Lord, let me feel just a little bit of the same power that raised Jesus from the dead." And boy, I'll tell you, something hit me right in the top of the head and went plumb out my toes. And they're singing, a bunch of them out there. One of the tourists were singing, "He arose, he arose." When I ran out of that tomb, they thought the second resurrection had taken place. I want to tell you, brother, what a blessing. Listen, the tomb is empty. He's a living Savior. And brother, the church is alive and well in Christ Jesus tonight. Not only is there a living hope, but the Bible said there's a false hope. That's pitiful. A man has a false hope. How sad it is to find a man that doesn't have a true hope. And then there's the no hope. Ephesians 2 and verse 12 said, having no hope in this world. Oh, there are people in this town and people in Grace Station that have no hope tonight. And what a sad thing it is to have no hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I don't care what that guy out there says about the death. It wasn't the death that saved me. It was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank God that cleansed me from my dirty sins. And I'm glad living. He loved me. Dying, he saved me. Listen, buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. And someday he's coming after me. What a blessing that is. But that, listen to me, the last ray of hope fades. Now, Lord, it's the last thing. If God's patience runs out in this community or with you, then listen, the lights on the road to hell will go out. I'm glad God put some lights on the road to hell to keep me from going into that darkness. Oh, I'm glad he put an old preacher that stood up and said, Jesus is the light of the world. And he put an old preacher to preach to me. I'm glad he put a little old mother that prayed for me. I'm glad on my table, when I was a little boy, I had a little old Schofield Bible hardback. I'm glad he put it in my path. I carried it down to Raleigh. Hillsborough Street, you know where Hillsborough Street is. I carried that little old Bible with me, Mama gave me. It was a light. Man, I was afraid to touch it. Did you know people today, they have no respect for the Word of God anymore? Why, these people have no respect for the house of God. They have no respect for holy things. And mister, that's sad. But I had respect for that book my mama put in my suitcase. Boy, I bobbled up. You see, my mother thought I couldn't tell a story. Times was hard when I went down there to school. My mother wrote a little check for $25, put in that Bible, and said, Mays, the first time you read it, you can cash this check. I got home, I think it was about, you know, November there for the first time. October, and I came in, mother said, oh, have you read your Bible every day? I said, every day. She said, you're lying. I said, no, I'm not. I read it every day. She said, it's funny. I called the bank this morning and that check's never come through. I said, what check? She said, I put it in that little Bible and left a note. The first time you read it, you can have it in cash that check. She said, no, you spend it now. I told the bank not to honor it. It's no good now. It's void now. I went back down to Raleigh and I looked at that check and I said, Lord, how foolish I was. At least I could flip through my Bible. I didn't have to, I'd have found the check. But, you know, I had so much, I was scared. And God had placed lights out. Oh, the Bible said in John chapter 13, in that night of the Lord's Supper, that Judas dipped into the bowl. And the lights, he went out and it was night. He went out into the darkness of night. And when God cuts the lights out on the road to hell, oh, hear me, when God cuts the lights out. I remember an old preacher down here in Mississippi. They buried him Sunday. Came up home one time. I went to hear him preach as a young boy. And he cut out all the lights in the church. And he got him a lantern. And he'd go around and hold that lantern up and cry out, one day the light will go out on the road to hell. You're not saved. You're not saved. I never forgot Percy Ray doing that. Holding that light up. It's a light on a man's road to hell. Listen to me, my friends. This book teaches there comes a time when light will turn to darkness as far as the sinner's concerned. And you'll be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth to be in darkness. The warden down in Atlanta at the great penitentiary was my friend for years. In fact, I preached his funeral 6 months after he died. You've never heard of that. He told his wife, said, "May she be in meetings and I die." Said, "You have just a little graveside service. Now, I know you'll be here Christmas week. You can have the memorial service and let Mace preach it." And I did. He was a warden. He loved God. Named Carl Smithwick. He really loved the Lord. He'd call me and say, "Don't you have a burden for these prisoners, Mace? Don't you want to help them?" And I'd say, "Well, you got a chaplain down there." He said, "Yeah, I know. But it's sometimes I doubt." Go down to the penitentiary and be there at 8. And we had that early service. And I've seen those prisoners walk down the aisles weeping and shedding tears. And he said to me one day, he said, "You know, I've got a hole, H-O-L-E, where I put men when I have to chastise them or correct them or discipline." And he said, "You can't see your hand before your eyes." So one day after I'd preached, I believe it was during the week, I was holding a meeting down there at the penitentiary. And I started out, and Carl said, "Wait a minute." Told two of the deputies, said, "Put Mason in a hole for a minute." And boy, they took a crane type thing and raised that big, thick, oh, it was a lid that scared me. And they put me down in that hole and they put that thing back over and I couldn't see my hand. And it seemed like not a minute, but 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes. There I was in the blackness of night. People, let me say to you, when the lights go out on the road to hell, it will be the blackest night you've ever seen. But if you come to Jesus Christ, there is a city where it hath no need of the sun, for the Son of God is the light of that city. And the sun never sets. And praise God, we'll live in the beautiful light of God's glory forever and forever and forever. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening. In other words, he said to that crowd up there, the bunch of Roman Christians, he said, "You tell them, Paul said, you tell them, God's patience is going to wear out. God's goodness is going to come to an end one day." He said, "I stretched out my hand and no man regarded." Oh, listen to me. He said, "I called and no man answered." God says in Proverbs 1, "I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll make fun and I'll mock at your desperation." Listen, friends, God's grace has been extended. God's goodness is right here tonight. And his patience is so long suffering. Thank God he hadn't cut us off. While your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you to, I want this first part of the invitation to be a little praise. How many of you thank God that his patience didn't run out on you? Lift up your hand if you're glad. Oh, what a blessing. That patience could have run out, but it didn't. And he waited and waited, long suffering. All right, you can take your hands down. Brother, you talk about a blessing. Thank God his patience didn't run out. I want to ask you three questions, and then we're going to have Brother Gary lead us in a song after we pray. Number one, how many of you can say tonight, "Brother Mays, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I know I'm saved. And preacher, as far as I know, I'm totally committed to to the will of God and the ways of God in my life. Would you raise your hand, Christian? Don't raise it unless you can say that. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? All right, now take your hand down. How many of you say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I've been saved, but I've gotten cold, and I've been like Simon Peter. Like I've been falling afar off, and preacher, I don't enjoy the things of God like I did when I first got saved. Christian, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you tonight. Slip it up back there, all the way back. Let me pray for it. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Is there another? Say, preacher, I want you to know I've been saved, but there's something not right. I'm not where I ought to be with the Lord. Preacher, raise your hand. Let me see it. Would you lift it up, Christian? God bless you, sir. Is there another? Just be honest. God cannot bless you until we all are honest. An honest heart, God will never turn away. Don't you forget that. An honest soul, God will never turn a deaf ear to. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't lived as close to the Lord as I should. I failed to pray lately. I haven't been faithful to the house of God as I should. Slip up your hand, Christian, let me pray for you. Is there another? Lift up your hand all the way back quickly. Then you can take it down. While we wait just a few seconds, would you lift your hand? All right, number three, real quickly. God's been patient with you, sinner friend. Oh, what if God's patience ran out tonight? What if God didn't let you have another day to get right with Jesus? What if this is God's final call to you right here in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? What if this is curtain call for you and the curtain may fall on you tonight? How many people say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I certainly want you to remember me in prayer. Slip up that hand, let me see it. If you're not a Christian, that guilt is too heavy to carry. That condemnation is a terrible way to live. No peace, no joy. Would you lift up your hand, sinner friend? Let us pray for you. We'll be glad to remember you in prayer. I believe there's a teenager here. I just feel that God is dealing with some teenage girl or boy that's not sure that he's saved or she's saved. Lift up your hand. Let me see. Would you do it? Better be sure about this thing. Maybe there's a mother, dad, son, or daughter. Just slip up your hand. Would you slip it up? Father, I thank you tonight. Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in that church, and he said, folks, he said, God's going to give you up. He said, folks, God's going to turn you over to vile affections. God's going to give you up. And oh, Lord, years ago when I walked the streets of Rome, Italy, I read that scripture and I said, Lord, if you've given it up, have you given Italy up? Have you given Rome up? With all of the apostate religion in that place. I said, God, have you given this place up? Folks, listen to me tonight. Gray Station is going to be on God's list. And after he holds out that hand of mercy, and after he turns that ear to hear your cry, then he's going to turn tables on you. Father, there's some people here tonight that need Jesus. Oh, God, there's some people here tonight, and your patience may run out on them. Your patience may not endure till they get home. I pray they'll come. And then, Lord, these Christians. And then, Lord, there's some mothers here tonight, and they've got children that are lost. They've got companions that don't know Jesus. There's some people here tonight, Lord, and their grandparents, but they've got precious little grandchildren. They're not saved. Lord, I've got seven wonderful grandchildren. And I'm glad I witnessed to all of them. And I'm glad I've told them the story of Jesus and they need to be saved. But, oh, God, I pray if they're not saved, you'll save every one of them. And I pray that you'll burden this church for souls in the coming year like you've never burdened this church before. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look this way. Before I let you stand, and I want to say a couple of things. I was thinking today after Brother Gene and I met, and I was thinking about the blessings. You folks take them for granted here. Now listen, I'm trying to help you. You take them for granted. Because I know in my own life I have too. But I like to stop every once in a while and get on my knees and say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for bringing me out of the horrible pit. Lord, burden my heart for sinners. Burden my heart for my loved ones. My loved ones. I tell you right now, until I get burdened, my folks are not going to get saved. Yours are not either. But when we get to the place where we'll run to the altar and say, God, there's Jim, there's Mary, there's Martha, save that lost loved one of mine. We're going to see them saved. Everybody stand all over the house. Everybody sing for Brother Gary. What are we singing? 70, just as I am. While we singing, I want you to come right on down. We're going to kneel right here. There'll be 50 people that'll come on the first stanza. As God speaks to your heart, I want you to slip right on down. Would you come? Come quickly, whoever you are. We're going to pray right here tonight. That's right. Don't wait. Come right on down. Mother, Dad, son, and daughter. All right, sing, Brother Gary, while we sing. They're coming. You come right ahead tonight. Let's mind God. Let's get a burden. Let's believe God. Let's have revival. Let's see God move. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Thank you. All right, just a moment, Brother Gary. Listen, we're going to sing that next stanza. Mother, are you going to wait too late? Daddy, are you going to wait too late to pray for your family? Listen, young people, you've got friends over at school. You know they're not right with Jesus. Are you going to wait till it's too late to pray for them at least? Don't you love them enough to say, oh, I want to call their name out in holy prayer at the mercy seat. And God will put a burden on you and you'll see them saved. You'll see them saved. Whatever God speaks to you about now, we're going to sing that next stanza. Come right on down. We're going to pray. Don't wait. Just come right on down as God speaks to you. All right, Brother Gary, while
just
we sing. Don't wait.
And
don't wait.
To rid my soul of one dark blood.
Are you procrastinating? All right, I want you to bow your heads while they play softly. While the good pastor comes up to pray. Now listen, somebody else needs to slip down here. Listen, somebody else needs to come down here for prayer. You're going to be disappointed in the service. The Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen, the Bible said harden not your heart. Just come right on down. Just keep coming. We're going to have prayer with these children. Amen. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Thank the Lord for those that are coming. Listen, mind the Lord, folks. That's all we ask you. You know I've been here so many. I never ask you to do but one thing. That's mind God. And when you mind the Lord, beloved, you can go home satisfied. You can go home rejoicing when you obey the Lord. Oh, when you obey the Lord, you can say it's well. It's well. It's well. Anybody else want to come? Thank you for those that did come. And you that didn't come, know you're right. You pray for these, will you? Pray for this meeting. pray for this good pastor and the work here. God will do mighty things in the days to come. Oh, man, told me today, a pastor from Kingsport said, Buffalo Ridge is the best church in our country. And I said, oh, that's right. But how much greater could Buffalo Ridge be if you'd just sell out, give completely over to God, and follow Jesus all the way? Keep your head bowed while the pastor comes and prays. Our Heavenly Father, we